Hello and happy Tuesday, my friends. This is Danielle Carter, and I'd like to welcome you back to another informative episode of Cisco Champion Radio, where we provide insights and visibility into products and solutions across the Cisco portfolio and trending topics across our industry. If you like our podcast, please follow us and feel free to share your favorite episodes with your colleagues and friends. If you have thoughts or comments on what we should cover in a future episode, let us know. Talk with us on Twitter at Cisco Champion. All right. Today we are talking about how Cisco is leveraging AI built in our products to create cinematic meeting experiences on WebEx. We have our champions and experts here to dive deeper into the conversation. So let's get started with introductions. Sebrin, this is a topic that you brought up to us, so let's get started with you. Who are you and what is it that you do?
Thank you, Danielle. Well, my name is Sybrin Beukenkamp. I'm the owner of Three Corners, and Three Corners primary focuses on the Cisco collaboration and Webex portfolio. And current our main customer base is a large ISPs and governments in the Netherlands.
All right. Well, thank you so much for joining us and bringing this topic up. Sebastian, you're up next. Tell us who you are and what it is that you do.
Hi, my name is Sebastian Leuser. I'm solution architect for collaboration solutions, especially Webex at Deutsche Telekom.
Thank you for joining us. And last from our Cisco Champion host, Jian, tell us who you are and what it is that you do.
Hey everyone, my name is Jian Zhou. I'm the principal network architect with PK Technology. We are a Cisco partner, and I am leading our network and security business practice.
Thank you so much for joining us. All right, Julie, from our Cisco side, we want to thank you so much for joining us on today's episode. Can you tell us who you are and what it is that you do at Cisco?
Hello, everyone, and thanks, Danielle, for having me here and Sebrin for bringing this topic up. My name is Julie Silnes. I'm the product manager of audio and camera intelligence on Webex at Cisco Devices, based out of Oslo. So we work on our Room OS running Cisco Devices portfolio, and I specifically work with the teams that do the amazing audio on there and also a lot of the video goodness. So audio is king, that's why I'm mentioning it first. Without audio, there's no really meeting, right? Then for video, it's the group of excellent people who work making sure that the camera is super crisp and clear of good quality. When we have new products that are coming up, bringing that up, as well as the AI and the ML running on our devices to make sure that we capture a meeting in the best possible way. And we, as a cross-functional team, lately are working with bringing cinematic meeting experiences to our customer base. That's just the gist of it. And what is that cinematic meetings? Well, it's the way we're thinking about the quality level of meetings where we bring the best view at any moment of that meeting room. So there's multiple features that goes under it, and it certainly points a direction for where we're heading as well. But the multi-camera is the core of all of these things. So that's what I'm working on.
Cool, Julie. Thanks for kicking off and having me on the podcast. We are going to discuss Webex AI and then AI in the devices. Can you help us a bit regarding we already have learned quite a lot of AI in terms of LLM and RRM but what's the difference? Where with what kind of technology do we see fit in the devices from an AI perspective?
So we focus a lot on how we can make a good meeting experience for the people in the room, but also for the people who's calling in from home or from other people or from other places. And we really make a lot of effort into creating inclusive experiences where it shouldn't matter where you call from. You should not feel excluded if when you're calling on from home just because people are tied in the meeting room. Such a common problem. I think every company that has a hybrid workforce, which I guess is about every company, has this challenge where Distributed meetings work well, hybrid meeting is still a challenge. And then we look at how can we utilize AI, both in terms of speech, but also video and audio, to bridge that gap. So where we are focusing is bringing those technologies onto the devices in the room, and we try to bring them as low down the tech stack as we possibly can for two reasons. One being the quality aspect of things when it comes to the video and audio. When we process things on the device locally, we can utilize all the available cameras, in contrast to sending raw streams and doing a lot of digital cropping where you'd lose quality.
Mm-hmm.
So quality is an important reason. Security is the second reason. When we do it that way, we can... We process things just locally on the device, and we don't utilize the cloud. And then the third reason actually is the fact that we can bring these experiences to a broader customer group, as broad as possible. So yes, you have great, and the best, world's best meeting is Webex meetings. And with Cisco devices, that's the best quality you get. We do know, though, that a lot of our customers utilizes not only Webex, but multiple video backends. The world is going to be like that, and we need to cater for all of them. So by bringing this AI and technology to the device, we can send out finalized high-quality audio and video that can be consumed on any backend. So that allows us to create great meetings on any platform, and also for customers with specific considerations such as the federal market and as well.
So when I hear quality, AI, multiple cameras, my first question I have in mind is, do I need new endpoints, or can I use existing ones?
Good question, Sebastian. So with AI, there is always going to be, that's always going to require a lot of processing power. So we at Cisco, we have the habit of trying to bring things backwards as long as you can. But at a certain point, that there is just this limitation of there's no place on the chip there's no GPU to do these kinds of things. So we can't be completely backwards compatible. And our new products that are coming, we certainly have more and more power in order to do more advanced things. So that's that. But the features that we're bringing to market now with meeting zones, that's a way to define the area of the meeting when it's placed, for example, in Vision A. Open office space, you can define a meeting area so that the intelligence cares only about that. That's available across our whole portfolio. So that's our whole existing portfolio running remote. So that's pretty cool.
That's what I also saw, though. I was just thinking of codecs like the new EQ. When I equipped a meeting room last year with the new EQ, if I can still use it for cinematic meetings. So from the newer endpoint perspective.
Yep. So the EQ is the most powerful codec that we have. And that's where we're bringing these new features such as CrossView when you have multiple cameras.
I have heard a lot about some advanced features like noise cancellation, like spatial audio, as well as the video, the cameras focus on the speaker who is doing the speech at the conference room. Could you please provide us more information about those advanced features?
Yes, certainly. So we have all of those that you mentioned, and we've been developing them for years before it became table stakes. Now I think those features somewhat are table stakes. All of our competitors have some version of noise removal and speaker focus. We certainly have for a long while. And we're not just moving ahead to the next shiny thing. We're always thinking about quality, and when there's enhancement on the technology space, looking at how can that also enhance quality of existing features. So noise removal is one of the most important features that we have just in general, because without it, you get all this noise. We're not used to it. It ruins a flow, it ruins a good conversation. So in help with our acquisition of Babel Labs, we quite early on got to a great quality level of noise removal, and we're continuing to work with them on improving the quality also for the more challenging rooms. So we would love to tell our customers, you need to build your offices with acoustic, thinking about the acoustics of the room, and because audio is key. They don't necessarily listen. There's glass, there's fishbowl offices, so many of them, glass walls all over with awful reverb and reverberation. And we, the technology needs to take care of that. Because that's going to be how it is. Also on the video side, we could argue, you know what, equity would be better if you had a smaller table. You know what, they don't listen. They want the biggest, longest table, and then technology needs to go in there and make sure that everyone's visible. Also, the person sitting at the very end of this too big conference room and a boardroom.
Cool. I would like to circle a bit back on the question Sebastian made regarding, and I think you already elaborated a bit on that one, Julie, is the local processing. We see a lot of things happening in the market. Other competitive solutions seems to focus on video and meeting optimizations in their cloud platform, where Cisco has chosen, I think, a long time ago to do most of the processing and enhancements in their endpoints. From security and compliance perspective, I think that's a great move. But can you, is that a well thought of strategy, or can we expect features in the cloud as well, or is that still, can we expect that those features still remain in the endpoint and in all the enhancements?
Yeah, good question. No, that is certainly a well thought through strategy that affects everything that we're doing, and it affects our backlog specifically in the fact that if there's a feature that's cloud only and WebEx only, it's very hard to get it prioritized. We start with a feature if it makes sense for the most customer possible, and where it makes sense in a high security environment. Those are the things we get through the door to prioritize and invest in. Because of the things I already mentioned, it's quality, it's security, and it's how many we reach with those features. That said though, with WebEx and the back end there and working tightly with the WebEx team, we have the cloud, the back end, and the receiver side. We are able often to augment the experience, take it to the next level in WebEx, which we also want to do and do the most of. So it becomes this better best story. A feature, we provide value in any meeting, but the best experience will be in WebEx. And very typical, our school books, such example is our Frames feature, which is locally composing a video image from the meeting room. You send one stream out that can be consumed in any meeting. But with in a WebEx meeting, we also send a lot of metadata about where people are in that image. And then any receiving laptop, phone, device will receive not only the video stream, but the metadata, can allocate more real estate place for that and make that layout even better. So a better best story is what we're aiming for.
Cool. I would elaborate on the frames later on, but no worries.
I have a question regarding the strategy of like doing more like local processing. So is that feature, will that strategy also help us to reduce the dependency on the network on the other feature, so that we can provide the customer a more reliable experience? Because the less dependent that we have on the network on other factors, the more reliability that we will be achieved with that strategy.
Yeah, no, absolutely spot on. That's a great argument, and also a driving factor for why we take that approach. the more we can do just locally and within sort of controlled, it makes it more reliable, easier to troubleshoot, less dependencies.
Yeah, and I really like the same strategy has been like applied along all our like product design, right? Even when we have the Desktop Pro, we talk about the benefit of Desktop Pro, right? Because many customers are use their laptop to do the meetings today, but there is a lot of times that we see that the laptop frozen. We have to like reboot the laptop, like have to rejoin the meeting. But with a dedicated device like a Desktop Pro, that is guaranteed that it's available all the time, and the processor is dedicated to do one task, not like our laptop doing multitask. And there is a large chance that the meeting got interrupted.
Yeah, you're preaching to the choir here, all of what you said. we are so lucky to have Desk Pros, most of us that works on devices. And it's to me, I wouldn't be able to do my job, quite frankly, without it. I even have a Desk Mini that I bring with me in my hand luggage when I go to the cabin. Right?
Yeah, really? Yeah.
I do. Because... I've been, yeah, it's hard to go back to the laptop when you're used to such high quality video experiences, and also the ergonomics of it all. Crunching over a laptop like this doesn't fit well with me, especially in the days that you have a lot of meetings.
Yeah.
So I do my best to be in front of a device.
So, but let us go back to cinematic meetings. I have one question. How do you get, I saw some demonstrations regarding CrossView and everything where the camera was all switching automatically. How you get all those information regarding the position of the person and everything? How you can collect those data?
Great question. So when we have a Cisco-enabled meeting room, we can think of it that we have the eyes in the room, which is the cameras. And in a CrossView scenarios, you have cameras from three angles of the room. With the table microphone pros, we have the ears that tells us important information. It has directional lobes, so we can say exactly pinpoint where the speaker's position is. And then obviously the codec and the codec would be the brain and doing all of the processing. So it's both audio and video inputs that goes into our directors, what we call the code that runs the show and directs the meeting. That's our director. And the director builds a scene model from what it sees from all of the cameras. It has AI models that does head detect. So it sees a head. It doesn't know who you are. We have a feature for that as well, but that's an opt-in feature of face recognition. So by default, it only sees recognize a head. And it recognized that I see this head now from multiple angles, and that gives you a very accurate depth estimation at that point when you have not only one viewing point, but more. And then adding the microphone inputs there, that's how we are able to change the views to direct the meeting. And so with that, we can do great decisions. It doesn't stop there, though, because what is a good directed meeting? That's also a very challenging problem that we're trying to tackle. And I don't think I know for sure we're not going to be able to satisfy everyone, because there's a lot of preference going into this. We know that already from just easier features such as speaker tracking. Someone likes it super snappy and that it moves on any sound. Others get confused or like sick of that motion and distracted, want a more subtle version that lingers a little bit longer on the speaker before it zooms out and etc. And this is going, you can take that problem and just foresee when you have multiple cameras here that you're switching between, and you have more tools in your kit that you can play with. So we're gonna have to do a lot of testing, end user testing, trying to figure out what's a good meeting, what allows you to feel like you're part of the conversation. Broadcasting, the broadcasting industry has always been a good inspiration for us. That's where we're looking towards, trying to learn from them in terms of what are good shots of the individuals as someone's holding a presentation versus when there's a dialogue happening in the room. So that we're borrowing a lot from that, but then also trying to think about you're not really sitting in your couch and just listening in to the meeting. You should feel like you're a part of it and that you can jump in with your arguments. So that's another dimension. So we can't fully rely on the TV industries here, but also have to look to other channels, debates, YouTube as well. Like how is this best conveyed? It's not easy. We're not gonna make it right the first time. We're gonna have to iterate, I'm sure. And I think that we also have to think about how can we provide some knobs and tweaks to people so that they can choose what's best for their use case.
So when I listen to all that, when I'm thinking of multi-camera of the past and everything, I'm thinking about lots of manual configuration, tweaking everything. Your setup sounded very automatic.
Yeah. That's the goal. That's the core of cinematic meetings. You shouldn't have to have a whole team to produce a meeting, right? Some have that luxury to do that for the very high profile meeting, and it can become a great experience when you have someone producing it. We try to emulate that and take that to the masses, make it native, bring that in volume. Not only for the one or two important meetings throughout the year, but to your everyday meetings.
But from a technical point of view, can you just hang up some cameras, throw in some microphones, turn cinematic meeting mode on, and off you go? Or do you need to kind of train the system to learn the layout, learn where the most people sit, or anything? How easy is it to set up from a from scratch room?
Yeah, good question. And we're getting quite close to launching CrossView now. We have a few rooms running both internally but also with customers. And the configuration aspect of it is very much in the works, and we're trying to see how much of it can we automate. There is going to be a one-time process that needs you to be in the room and to have some gear and some time, I think, to set this up. The placement of the cameras is quite crucial to get key, and then there's a process to calibrate them. So they need to know of each other, and for to do that, it needs a static reference point that it can use to sort of figure out all of the different cameras' relative position. So there's a one-time process there. I wouldn't say you could just drop the cameras in, but we're trying to make it as easy as possible to set it up.
So I guess that's include not only the camera but also the speakers and the microphone, right? So at the initial setup, we also need to plan for the speaker and the microphone so that the audio can be detected like according to the space, right?
Exactly. So we use audio triangulation, so three microphones or more to figure this out. So they need to be have some distance between each other, but that's just general guidelines as well, because everyone needs to be heard well, and everyone should be able to reach a mute button. So those guidelines on where to place things, we've captured all of those so that it's going to be located in one place. When you set that up, when you plan your room, you'll be able to see where to plan for the microphones and the cameras. And we're also building digital tools that visualizes this very well, so that you're planned before you get into the room and with the screwdriver in your hand.
We're talking about video. You mentioned that the video and the engines is capable of detecting faces in order to do the cinematic mode correctly. But what about audio? How far are we to also detect individual people speaking? for features like transcription, like Yuan already mentioned?
Yes, good question. And very, very great use cases for that. And that's something that we're working actively on. I think a natural first step is to detect one voice from another voice,
mm-hmm.
so that you can differentiate person A versus person B. That will already give you some, or that's a useful thing to know for transcriptions, for example. If you have a room with 14 people, if the transcriptions say that this meeting room has been speaking for 45 minutes, that's not really useful. So if we can differentiate between the different voices, that's the first thing to do. That's going to be a great addition when we get there. And then the second piece when it comes to identification, that's where it becomes really bad if it goes wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Imagine you saying something and then it
Sebastian's
says like,
name is listed.
Said,
yes, exactly.
Yeah. And
that would be painful. Yeah,
that would be painful, and it's sent out to all of the meeting participants, right?
Exactly.
It seems very like Sebastian said this thing. No one's gonna go look at the recording.
No, never.
So he'll be blamed for forever. So that's where the quality level before implementing such things needs to be really high. But I think before we get there, there needs to be some, rather say, tools and ways to make it easier to make a correct transcription. But it would require some manual checking or some gates before jumping to that.
But can we expect similar like face recognition, kind of audio fingerprinting? So that, for example, I need to say a sentence for 30 seconds, right? Like my Apple Siri can detect my voice. Can we expect similar like solutions in Webex?
Well, as I said, it needs to be stepwise. I think in the future, we probably will get to that point where we can do that as well. It's not a trivial problem,
mm-hmm.
but I know there's solutions like you mentioned out there that are utilizing this technology, then the quality level needs to be coupled with the risk for the use case. So all of that, but for sure, it's such a core use case to us that we need to solve that problem.
Yeah, I can continue on and on. So much questions. So I would like to circle a little bit back on the framing, cinematic mode, and people focus like technology is based on framing. And the people focus based on the metadata you mentioned within a Webex meeting, you get the best experience. Without Webex, the metadata is not part of the meeting. It's a regular SIP video stream. Can we expect a bit more openness in the future, like that the frames or the framing is sent in different or separate SIP video stream, for example, that also other vendors can benefit from the technology from the devices?
Yeah, I think I can only speculate here on,
mm-hmm.
on where the direction is going. But it's very relevant and interesting discussion now that we're entering with MTR and devices. And in that, we're competing in a world with other hardware vendors who also wants to bring really good meeting experience in an MTR meeting.
Yeah.
We don't control the back end in that sense. So what we can do is to make the best out of the existing hardware, send the best quality out as we can. But there's a limit to that when you think about what you could open up with
mm-hmm.
multi-stream, with the metadata. You can do so much more. So I certainly think that there needs to the standards or needs to be created or expanded to also have some of these pieces of information in there. Unless if not, we're going to stop really innovation. So I certainly see that there's going to be need for collaborating, being open, so that you can have this best experience in different backends for sure.
So one question, Sibylle mentioned several times the metadata, the framing and everything. And when I hear all those topics, I'm directly thinking of the announcement regarding the campfire endpoint you made. Can we see that as a best example with all those four tables sitting in a rectangle talking to each other? Is that for is that something like the masterpiece of bringing all the existing functionalities together from Cisco side, or how you would explain it? It's a more a combination of all existing features or a first step?
Yeah, so campfire is an interesting one. For you, those of you who don't know campfire, it's this table, it's a square table where the video and the cameras is centered in the middle, so you're sitting around it like a campfire. And we've released a blueprint that shows you how you can do that and have a really good experience, which features four quad cams with four codecs in the middle. Each of the camera shoots one side of the table, so which seats four people. So in total, you could be 16 around there. And then it comes with the heights to make sure that everything looks really good. And the experience of that is really interesting in the fact that we can capture all of the 16 people identically large, adapting as they move. And this is something that we see provides real value for boardrooms and certain of these complex room settings. But by me describing it, you can hear that it's a quite complex and also quite expensive solution. And it's heavily reliant on the powerful API and the macro framework that we have. So it's not the golden standard. There's no place that you can press buy here, but it's a way for us to show what you can do today. Because there's so much you can do. We build these building blocks, put a lot of effort into making them flexible so that you can play with that and then create this quite unique experiences to have in your meeting rooms when you have that software and hardware building blocks. So Campfire shows what you can do. We call it the art of possible rather than yeah. So and that hope that that's just going to spark creativity with people.
Yeah, I really like the setup, and as you mentioned, it's a costly setup, but I think it's what you mentioned. It's a very good kind of showcase what you can do just with Cisco hardware with no external dependencies and stuff. So that's good. I think we should not just talk about Webex, although we know Webex is one of the best meetings platforms in the world. I can just say that here in this podcast, of course. But we also see quite a lot of Microsoft Teams meetings and MTR. Microsoft Teams Rooms pop up. If I understood it correctly, most of the features like cinematic technology, which we are going to experience or expect in the Room OS, are they also supported within a Microsoft Teams meeting rooms mode?
Correct. Yes. As much as possible, as much as technically possible, we want to support an MTR as well. So MTR is it's all powered by Room OS, which is the baseline on the device. And that allows us to do a lot of things, again, back to the on-device processing composing before we send to MTR. So with that, we're able to bring most of the things that people are familiar with in a Webex meeting from a Cisco device also into MTR.
You mentioned most of the features we can expect in MTR. What can we expect, and what is just a challenge? For example, Microsoft not being open enough to expose certain features, or what can we expect?
So what you can expect is the camera intelligence that you can find in the camera settings menu, the speaker tracking, frames, cross view when we're switching between cameras. The audio processing also happens on the device, so a noise removal works well. We can do optimize for my voice so that I can also remove background talkers. That we can also do in an MTR call. We'll be able to do things like multi-camera when there's someone on the stage to capture them versus the audience. So we switch between cameras. So all of that available in MTR is source coming, and then what's remaining is where we require, which we talked about already, the metadata, those type of things. We still, we're not sending that into MTR. I think it needs to be a part of the future.
Yeah.
And then there's the world of multiple sources, how to set on that in. So today, with WebEx, but we've launched that, we're releasing this year, multi-stream support, so that we can send from the same device that has more internal cameras or these multi-camera setups. We can send one stream focusing on the active speaker and then another stream focusing on the group. And our North Star is to provide a head and shoulder crop of everyone in the room. When you have a lot of cameras, there's that's a given. You should be given as much real estate as someone who's calling in from home in their laptop. So that's what we're working towards. And then we'll see how we can bring those experiences to MTR as well, because we can't stop innovation, but it will require us to work quite closely with Microsoft in order to bring that.
You mentioned in your explanation lots of features, what you have for some of those features you have since years. What do you think is, from your perspective, the most important piece where everything started from all those AI features you implemented into the devices?
I think the interesting, I haven't really thought about that, but it's very apparent that a foundational building block is our head detection model that we just have to perfect as much as we can, because without it, we couldn't do any of those features. It's really about us knowing where people are sitting in the room, how many they are. Importantly, that's important not only for how to direct the meeting, but also for occupants, and so that the building manager can know how the room is utilized, right? Over time and the histogram. And so head detection, I would say, if I have to pick one, that's what's powering most of these features, both for the in-meeting experiences, but also for the building admin and the IT admin.
I fully agree. And my point number two, noise removal.
Yeah, noise removal, good second one, I agree.
Yeah.
Without that, I would be pretty annoyed.
I haven't seen the competition doing anything better than what WebEx is doing with Devil Apps, exactly. I think I find a final question. So you were mentioning head detection, but I also see the technology improving with hand gestures. You can do with the okay or the smiley or whatever. Can we, in terms of inclusivity in a meeting, also expect the technology involve into detecting sign language?
That's the coolest use case there would be, right, for gestures. I certainly hope so. It's not going to be easy, but we should absolutely do that. And I believe in gestures when it's applied to the right things. I think when you do that on FaceTime in front of your phone, it might be a little bit of a gimmick, because you're so close to the button and the interface at that point that I'm like, not sure how much value it actually provides. And the same goes with a desktop device. But if you're able to do that in a large meeting room where you're far from any interfaces to interact with, that brings you another dimension. Now, if we could use this technology to make sure that everyone's included, also with sign language, that would be amazing and really a North Star to do.
Cool. Personally, I found this podcast very good. Is there anything, I'm just sitting on Danielle's chair now, is there anything we should cover which we haven't?
I think we got to a lot of good points.
Cool. Thank you very much.
Yes, thank you. That's another great episode on the books. To our listeners, if you want to continue your learning on today's topic, you can check out the resources provided in the show notes below. And this is your weekly reminder. You can subscribe to Cisco Champion Radio on your favorite streaming platform and receive alerts on our latest releases. So wherever you're listening to us, make sure to click on that subscribe or follow button now. Thank you for listening in. See you again next time.